Welcome to this week's sermon from Heights Worship Center. We believe God has something for you today. We hope this message encourages and inspires you. Amen.
He's so good. So we're going to read this scripture in Matthew 24. I'm just going to give you a little context before we read it, because I always like to give context. I always like for people to know where we're at in the Bible. We're in the book of Matthew. Matthew wrote to the Jewish people. He wrote for the Jew. He was a tax collector, and he was saved by grace, followed Jesus, and then wrote this book for the Jewish people in a way that they would understand the fulfillment of Scripture through Jesus Christ. As it pertains to the Old Testament, as it looks back and is constructed much like the Torah that they read. And so we're in chapter 24, and chapter 24 and 25 come right before the Passion, right before we jump into that section, and God starts to do a lot of teaching about the kingdom of God and the time that we're in. And so we get to chapter 24, and we're going to start at chapter 24, verse 33, and this is what it says. It says, "Now I learned this parable from the fig tree. When its branches has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near and at the door." And so he's talking about this in relation to the coming back of Jesus. He's talking about this in relation to the end coming to a close, and he's saying we should know it like the fig tree. We should know it like the fig tree, and that we know that summer is near as the leaves start to come back again. We may not know the time nor the hour, but we sure do know the season that he's going to come back again, and we should know this by the way of the Holy Spirit. And so he jumps into chapter 25, and we're going to jump right into a parable, and it's chapter 25, and we're going to look at the virgin, the 10 virgins. That's the parable. So we're going to jump right there. I'm going to open my Bible, and then we're going to pray one more time, and then we're going to read the word. So Father God, we thank you. We thank you for the going of the word. We thank you for the hearing of the word. We thank you that every heart is open and all ears are open to hear and to receive you. Holy Spirit, we give you free course and free reign to continue to go up every aisle, to touch every heart. We thank you, Father God, that the word would go forth uncompromising, unshaking, Father God, that it would cut through bone and marrow, that it would get to the heart of the matter. We thank you, Father God, for conviction, and we come against shame and condemnation now in the name of Jesus. And we say it has no place here, for Lord, you reign and you rule here. Father God, I ask that you would increase and I might decrease. And we give you all the praise and all the honor that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're going to jump in this, but I'm going to share a little bit because I got ahead of myself. Because Pastor Jaron is the apostle of the house, I wrote a word up. So our word up today is responsibility. I hope everything is spelled right up here because, yeah, that's just me. But it's responsibility. That's our word. And I'm going to look at two responsibilities that I believe the Lord put on my heart to just share with you, with us. The first responsibility is for us to fight the good fight of faith. Pastor Jaron started talking about the book of James, and I love the book of James because it talks just about that. And he's a pastor, so he comes at it from the perspective of a shepherd to his sheep. And so what I want you to understand about fighting the good fight of faith is that we have to have faith that is an action. It's an action. And what I want you to understand is that the faith that James writes about, faith without works is dead, and the faith that Paul writes about, freely given faith, they are not contradictory. Right. They are balanced and together. Right. They create balance within the believer's life. Faith is a gift freely given. Right. You freely receive faith. Now, faith should be living and active in the believer's life. That's our job as believers to do with the gift of faith. Each of us has been given a measure of faith to do what the Lord's will is to do in the earth and in our lives. That's the goal. That's right. And then the next responsibility is freely received, freely give. So freely receive, freely give. You've been given the grace and the love of God, the mercy of God. What more could I do to love other people than to give them the gospel? And I want us to look at this parable from the framework of responsibility, because that's what we're going to read about. And so we jump into Matthew chapter 25, and it says this. We're just going to go to the verse 1. We're going to walk through this line upon line, precept upon precept. Amen? Amen? So it says this. It says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took up their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. The first few lines of words there, it says the kingdom of heaven is likened this. This parable is for us. This parable is for the believer. The kingdom of heaven is likened to 10 virgins. The number 10 in Hebrew is related to structure, authority, and systems. 10. That's why when Jesus approached Abraham and he said that he was going to get rid of Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham walked back every number. If I can find this many righteous people, if I can find this many righteous men, and then he lands at 10. He lands at 10 because that is the number of structure and order and systems in the Hebrew language. It's definite. It's authority. If I can just find 10 of them. And so when we look at this first verse where it says the kingdom of heaven is likened to 10 virgins, authority,
right. Amen.
In the earth. The kingdom of heaven going forth in the earth in you and me is like 10 virgins. He establishes that. That's what we're talking about, the kingdom of heaven. And he gives it authority. He gives you authority. And he says, we are like 10 virgins. Virgins, purity, real simple, purity, holiness.
Yeah. Yeah.
The kingdom of heaven in all its authority and its systems and its structure is pure and it is holy.
Amen.
That's why he uses virgins. It's purity and it's holiness. Amen? Let's jump into, we're going to go down to verse 2. We're going to read through 5. And it says this. It says, now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But the bridegroom was delayed and they all slumbered and they all slept. So let's set the setting. Let's look at what we're looking at right now. It's a bridegroom coming to get his bride. It's a wedding. Most of the things that pertain to the coming of the Lord look like a wedding or describe like a wedding in the Bible. They always associate it with a wedding or a feast. And so the bridegroom is coming. He's coming to collect his bride. Unlike Western culture, where the bride comes to the groom, he walks down the aisle, the bridesmaids signal the bride's arrival. In Jewish culture, the groom comes to get his bride. And we have a Jewish God.
Right.
So he's coming to get us. Whether you want to say we're going to be caught up in the sky or he's going to plant his foot on the Mount of Olives. Either way, he's coming to get me. I just wanted to let you know that blessed my heart when I read it. Either way, he's coming to get me. Either way, in your situation, he's coming to get you. I thought, just bless my heart. And so we have this wedding feast. With it becomes excitement, anticipation for what the future holds. And at the same time, if they need a lamp, I'm going to go with it's dark. It's night, or it's going to be night. One of the two things. That's what I love about reading the Bible. Sometimes I'm like, oh, Jesus, give me revelation. He goes, Andrea, it was nighttime. Don't read too much into this. It was nighttime. That's why they needed a lamp. They needed light. And if you've gone camping, like some of us will be, it's dark when you go camping because we're at night. We're away from the city. It's dark. If I turn a light on while I'm camping, it can be seen from miles away. So if they walk out at night in the middle of the woods to go get the bridegroom, and they have their lamps on and burning, they can be seen. like the church,
right.
A city set on a hill. We are the light of the world.
Amen.
So what we do to signal the bridegroom, that the, to signal the coming back of Jesus Christ, is we light a lamp. And we are the light of the world. We illuminate in darkness. So not only were we telling the bridegroom this way, we're also telling the rest of the world this way. There's a wedding happening. Are you coming? It's like Noah in the ark. I don't know how many times he had to tell the people. There's a flood coming. Now, they probably didn't understand rain because it hadn't rained yet. But there's a flood coming. And he told them there's a flood coming. He told them when the flood starts and the rain comes, this door is shutting. Like we are in comparison to these virgins. We are announcing, one, the arrival of the bridegroom, and we are announcing to them that time is running out. And once again, this is, I want you to hear it from the grace of God, the compassion of God, for him to tell you to send as many signals as he can. Time's running out. It's the compassion of God for you to continue to hear it in the street. Time's running out. We are listening not to a world clock, but to a clock that has already been clicking since the beginning of eternity. That's the clock we hear. Time is running out. This door is going to close. And if you're not inside for what will be the celebration, the door is going to shut.
Right.
And that's real. That's a really sobering thought. To hear. And once again, this is not to the rest of the world. He's telling this parable to what will be the kingdom of God. So he separates them into two groups. There's wise ones and there's foolish ones. And I tried to find a translation that didn't say foolish because I thought that was a little intense. But I don't know what else. I couldn't find one. Literally, the parable is the same in every translation. It reads just like this. They don't use a different word. The Message calls them silly, but it's the same thing. Only that one. Foolish, wise and foolish. And wisdom looks like preparation.
Oh, that's good.
It looks like preparation. Foolishness looks like lack of foresight.
Wow. Oh, that's
good.
Wow, that's good.
So.
Yeah, say that again.
Okay, I'll repeat it one more time for the back row. Wisdom looks like preparation. Foolishness looks like lack of foresight. And so, if you've ever been who's been in a wedding? Who's been a bride in a wedding? A bridesmaid. There we go. Bridesmaid. More hands should go up. Okay, beautiful. So if you've been a bridesmaid in a wedding, you guys know how we function. Everybody's in the room. If you don't have mascara, I got mascara. And I got three different kinds. If you don't have stockings, I got stockings. You don't have nail polish and you didn't paint your toes, I got nail polish. And I got breakfast. I got coffee. You want decaf? You want regular? There is order and organized chaos. In that room. We know how it functions. If you don't have your shoes or you're missing an earring, I'm going to see it. I'm be like, girl, you ain't got your shoes on and that earring. Where is it? Because we all got the same jewelry on. So there's preparation in the house of God.
Yes.
We should be looking at each other.
Hallelujah.
We should see. I was thinking about this not too far long ago. And this is going to be a really weird analogy, but bear with me. You're my family. I love you. Yeah? Okay? If I brought someone to church with me who was a potential suitor. Oh, I know. Huh? Come on. Won't he do it? Okay. So if I brought someone with me who was a potential suitor and Mel saw him and was like, Dre, I don't know. Do you know I would listen to that? Because as church family, he has a right to speak into my life. If Jackie saw him, girl, nah, not the one. I don't know what you're doing, and I don't know why you brought him here. Well, maybe because he needs Jesus, Jackie. You know? And she said no. I would listen to that. Same with Pastor Adon or Pastor Kieran or Mom Rose. Not just because they're my pastors, but because I give them access to speak into my life. I would check that. I'd be like, man, shoot. They said, nah, fam. You got to go. So if that's the case, if that's the case, and we are to judge each other by our fruit, I should look at you and be like, your oil? Do you have oil? Where you at? What's your oil intake? You got enough? Is it at the minimum or is it at the max line? Where you at? Or if I notice, hey, what? It's not the same. What's going on? I should notice. As a kingdom of God, we should notice. So why were there foolish ones and wise ones? It is a responsibility of our own, but it's also my responsibility. Why would I check myself and not check you? That's like walking out and you needed something and your sister didn't tell you. Why would you let me leave the house like this? Why would we let each other as a kingdom of God leave the house like that? So, and then it says this, and we jump down, and it says this, while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. They all went to sleep. Not one of them, all of them went to sleep. It is a proclivity we have as the people of God to go to sleep. The disciples did it too. Jesus, all Jesus needed them to do was pray. And they couldn't pray. And then what happened? He went to the cross. They didn't know that when they were invited to pray with Jesus. They didn't know that would be the last time they see him whole, not bruised and beaten. And they also didn't have the excitement to know what he was gonna do for them. Imagine what Thomas would have thought if he had known what Jesus was getting ready to do. Would he not be known as Doubting Thomas? So like I said, there's an excitement. There's an excitement to it. But he was delayed. Because God's timing is not our timing. And it's a lack of foresight on our behalf for us to assume and force God into work within our timing. You need oil. Because we know, if you've ever believed God for some or stood on word, he's an on-time God. But it may not look like your clock because he works from eternity. So if that's the case, then even more so did they need some oil. Right. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go to the next set of verses. Let's drop down to verse 6, and we're going to read through verse 9. It says this, and at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. So the bridegroom comes, and he comes when they are not aware. In the middle of the night, he comes. And they're usually, in this setting, they're usually never told when the groom is coming. He just kind of comes, and they're supposed to be out there. And so he doesn't come. And so they look to their partners and say, hey, give us some of your oil. And they said, no, because we won't have enough for me and you. So if our word up is responsibility, the second one is personal responsibility. It is my personal responsibility to have oil in my lamp. It's my personal responsibility. It should be my own conviction to have some oil in my lamp. And if I don't have any oil, if I'm struggling, then I need to connect to the oil power source. Because this is what oil is. This is what oil represents. Oil is known as the Holy Spirit, power, anointing, and spiritual readiness. That's what oil is. And most believe that the oil that was in their lamp was not like regular oil. It was anointing oil that they would have found in the temple. That's the oil they had. And so it's my responsibility. If we are the city, if we're the light of the world, a city set on a hill, and half the city doesn't have power, how can we be seen? If half the city isn't connected to the power source, which is the Holy Spirit, how can we be seen? We're in the dark. And no one else is being alerted to the groom. And he's coming. It's our job to be connected to the Holy Spirit. It's our job to live a Holy Spirit-empowered life. That's the goal of everything we've been learning since we jumped into the Holy Spirit. It's to live a Holy Spirit-empowered life. That you should walk, talk, sound, emanate that of the Holy Spirit. And when we're not connected to our power source, we run dry. I know I felt, I'm like, oh, I am not oily. I am dry today. And it's not just because I need to put Aquaphor on. It's because I have not been in his presence. That's why today was such a necessity. Because we need to do this not just in the church, but at home. I'm going to help you if you have church insecurity like I had church insecurity. The best place to practice your praise is at home, in your room, by yourself. Put some praise music on, get to dancing. Find the beat. If that's what you're worried about, if you're worried about being off beat, find the beat. Getting a home, find the 2-4 and the 1-3 and get to going. If you are on the worship team and you want to learn, you like to shout and jump and praise like you see Elevation do, you see everybody else do in rhythm, you better put the song on you guys going to worship to and get to praise it in your room with a microphone in your hand. This is so real because we're looking at people and we want that. We want that. They practice the presence of God. They practice that. And it's not to be a performer. It's so that when the Spirit of the Lord tells you to dance and spin around, you can dance and spin around and not lose your spot. That's real. Like, that's a real thing. So, if you want to get down here and dance and spin it, get it together in your room. Get together in your room. I went to a school that's known for Pentecostal. I didn't really know how to shout. I didn't know how to shout. It's proclivity down there that they shout. They get up. Dun, 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 and the praise, I didn't know how to shout. So I would walk them. I said, I want to learn how to shout because I want to shout for Jesus. And I learned how to shout. I got in my room and I learned a 2-4 and a 1-3 and a. You just gotta start small. And this, it's funny, but it's so true. It's so true because we sit in church and we want to jump and shout and spin for the Lord, but we're awkward. Like, this is real. Tell me this is not real. It's real. It's true. It's true. You know why I know it's true? Because I've watched Giselle kind of growing, and she's gotten a little. Now she walked back and forth. And now she's spin around. Tell me she hasn't been practicing. Tell me she hasn't been practicing. So we laugh, but it's true. And it builds your faith. And it builds intimacy with God. Because you get going with God. So you don't need any other instrument. I can praise the roof off this place by myself. I can get to going and spinning and shouting and speaking. And I could tear the whole place off and then lay me out myself out in the power of God. And be stretched out for weeks. Don't touch me. She's in the power. Like Benny Hinn now. I blow myself out. Don't play with me. I will get to going. I will get to going. Because I like worship. I like praising God. I enjoy this. And that's why I told you. I no longer get offended or self-conscious about it. I don't have time to play with you once again. Because Jesus is coming. Because what do you think we're going to do when we get to heaven? What do you think we're going to do? We're going to be at the throne room, and they better sing praise, and they better sing, what's that other one that we like, Hail, Hail, Lion of Judah. They better play that song. They better play that song. I need them all to come, and they better play When You See What I See, because I'm going to get to, and on that breakdown part, I'm going to get to going. I'm going to find Mike. I'm going to say, we already practiced this at church. Come on, let's get to the front. Let's get to the front. Get to the front. Wait, make your way through. Get to the front. And I'm going to probably find all the youth down there too, shouting and singing. So we have to build ourselves. And I want to take the stigma away from it being this holy, like, monk, like, ooh, Jesus. Ooh. Because it can be that, but it could also be filled with so much joy. Because he gives you the oil of joy for gladness. And for ashes, he gives you beauty. That should get you going more than any football game, more than any basketball game, more than anything. It should get you going more than any TV show. If you know all the words to I'm a Little Soda Pop right now, y'all know what show I'm talking about. If you know all those words, but didn't know some of the words that we were singing. You know what I'm saying? Let that be, and I'm not saying you can't listen to music or watch things, because I love television, but there we have to stop letting the world distract us for our oil. The world is distracting us, and it's just extracting oil from us. It's extracting anointing. It's extracting power. It's taking from us, and then we look up and we ask why we don't have any oil. Because what have we allowed to take from our well, our reservoir? That's why Isaac had to go back and dig up the wells in Genesis. He had to go back up and dig up his father's wells. Dig up a well in here that rivers of living water would flow. Dig up a well in your home that's what flows when people walk in the door. I would have people come into my office at work and they, oh my gosh, it's so peaceful in here. Because I got a well that never runs dry. That's why it's peaceful in here, because I attached myself to this atmosphere. And I said, you will function right in Jesus' name, especially in a place that's toxic. You will not come in here and disturb the peace that God has set. And so we have to be like wise virgins. Amen? We have to be like wise virgins who have oil in our lamp. Oil in our lamp. Go back. Like Jesus told the church in Book of Revelation, go back to your first love. Go back to doing what you used to do. If you used to listen to preaching all the time, go listen. If you used to play worship music constantly, play worship music. If you used to study and get in your work, go study and get in your work. Create time. Go do that. Go cultivate what used to get you going before. And let God breathe fresh and anew on it. And it may change. And it may look different. And it may advance. But go do what you used to do. Go get some oil, man. I want y'all to come back oily. Dripping with the Holy Spirit. And in power and authority. Because we should all be at the same level. We should all be at... Sometimes we in church, we believe that there is a level that pastors should be at and elders should be at all times, but we're all called to the same level. There's no lesser salvation. You received in full what I received in full. It's just a matter of what we're cultivating. Romans 1 and 2. Father, present my body as a living sacrifice, holy, pleasable, and accepting, a worthy sacrifice. That's a requirement for all of us to live that way. Amen? Amen. So we're going to go to Revelation chapter 22. We're going to go to the end of the story, huh? We're going to go to the end of the story. Worship team, if you want to join me, you're more than welcome to. We're going to go to Revelation chapter 22. I want you to look at verse 12 through 17. We may not read all of it, but I want you to look at it, skim through it as I talk and whatnot. But Revelation chapter 22 is the end of the Bible. It is the end, it is the closing of what would be the story of redemption that has not fully played out yet. We're still waiting for some things to happen. We're still waiting for certain things to happen. We're still waiting for God to come back. We're still waiting, and we're looking at him with anticipation. But the word tarry is often found in the Bible, and it means to wait. The Lord tarried. He waited. And oftentimes we think that tarry is in lieu of a negativity, maybe in our lives. Maybe we've done something to have the Lord wait. But the Lord likes to wait. He likes to sit back and wait. And he's a God of rest, too. So he likes to sit back in rest and wait. And if the Lord tarries, and this longer period of time of him coming back kind of just continues to inch forward, we have to continuously burn bright for Jesus. Because I believe his tarrying and I believe his waiting is for us as believers to continue to share the gospel. Because he wants everyone with him when he comes. He's looking for everyone to be there. We like to look at remnant. Remnant means a small few. But what if there's a big remnant? What if there's a big one? Set apart people for the glory of God. And I believe he's tarrying, much like he did with Noah and the ark, because Noah built that ark for a long period of time. It took him long, and he made it take long. He made it take long. That thing was so big for a reason. One, it was practical because of everything he needed to put on the inside of it. But two, he was making it big so he could fit some people. You think it was just supposed to be big enough for him and his family? He wanted everyone to get on the boat. He wanted everyone to get in before the rain came. And so when we think about tarrying, we think about waiting in this long period of time as God continuously pours out his word, as people continuously get saved. I want us to look at Revelation 22, verse 17. It says this. It said, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Come, let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the waters of life freely." The Spirit and the bride, they say, come. That's the season of time we're in, where they say, come. Come and drink of life. Come and drink of a river that won't ever come go dry. Come receive from the Father life. And life more abundantly. Not to just leave you at the place of life you're at, but to elevate you, to bring you higher, not just physically, but in mind and in spirit and in body. Not just financially, but in your relationships. A life more abundantly. Come. Come to him, all those who are weary, and he will give you rest. For his burden is easy and his yoke is light. If you've been carrying something, I know we did this today, but time's running out, so we're going to do it again. If you have never said yes to Jesus, if you backslid and got cold, calloused, and indifferent, this month is called, in the Jewish calendar, is called, it should be a slide, but it's also in my notes. It's called, here we go. And that word means to see. And Pastor Don already talked about it. To see. And this seeing is not for you to necessarily look at other people, but it's a moment of self-reflection. God, search me and know me. It's a moment of self-reflection for you And it's a moment of self-reflection for your outward actions towards other, to look into yourself and allow the Lord to minister to you where you need healing. And because this parable is for the kingdom of God, I encourage us to look at it. Are we wise or are we foolish? And that's daily. Daily I have to get up and not think to be foolish. Daily I have to renew my mind to the word of God. This is not like a better than you mentality. This is, I got to do this daily. I got to beat this flesh daily. So if you become cold, callous, and indifferent and you walked away, you don't live the way you used to live. We want to give you this moment. So with every eye closed and every head bowed, if that's you and you're in this place today, I just ask you right now between you and the Father that you repeat this prayer for me. And while you're repeating it, we're all going to repeat it with you. And we're going to say this. We're going to say, Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for what you did on the cross. We thank you for your blood that is remission for sin. So we ask that you would forgive us of all our sin, that you would cleanse us of unrighteousness and make us new in you. We ask that you would come into our heart, be Lord of our life this day, in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Visit us in person or online at hwcim.org.